Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a very good week these past several days, at least for a couple of us here. I hope for the rest of you. We left early Tuesday morning to make our way to Charleston, South Carolina, and like a lot of flying these days, everything goes through Atlanta, right? It makes sense, go south to go north, or go east. I noticed as we got started, when we sat down on our plane right in Sioux Falls, the pilot was standing, not in his seat going through his checklist, but standing in the doorway in conversations on the phone with other people. And we waited and waited, and finally he got on the intercom and said, "We have a little problem. We found an excess pool of oil under the tail of the aircraft, and we need to find out why." Well, that seems like a pretty good idea. So they called a contract mechanic, not from the airline, but was dispatched. And it took several minutes, but he showed up. And I was expecting to see some fella, hopefully 45, you know, experienced, wearing a uniform of some kind with a name tag and a logo. But this young fella pulls up, probably in his mid-20s, beard, t-shirt with a Wild logo on it, ball cap, and shorts, and grabs a bunch of paper towels out of his vehicle and heads to the back of the plane. I couldn't help but noticing, well, I won't get into the name of the company that did that, but anyway, we were seated in row 13 on the plane. And now, my wife booked these seats, so I haven't visited her about that, but it was just sort of lining up to be one of these, and we were an hour delayed, got into Atlanta, and Ron and I got on the seats to our flight to Charleston 9 minutes before the scheduled time to take off. And the flight was smooth as glass going up to Charleston. I have come to really enjoy these annual convocations. I can't say I always did in years past, but I really enjoyed these last few years. I don't say I have to go every year. That's certainly not the case. But it was good. It started with the theological conference the Tuesday evening. And every year it forces me to have to listen a little harder to catch all the vocabulary. I know the terms, but you get rusty, like anything, on some of the language. And we were, as Ron pointed out, we were on the Citadel, the Military Academy of the State of South Carolina. And the plaques out front with those that gave their lives were huge, especially World War II, that eclipsed everything. But I took a couple of pictures of those plaques, and I hope to sit down and share those with those who may be interested, especially Vietnam era, may recognize some names on there perhaps. The conference itself took place in the chapel, and if you can picture the chapel being of construction, let's just say very similar to St. Joseph Cathedral. It's beautiful, and the singing was just superb, wasn't it, Ron? Of course, they had a full-size pipe organ, and it wasn't being played by a first-year student, let me guarantee you. Excellent singing. A lady behind me, she sounded like she's from the Deep South. She said, "I could sing with this group forever." And I don't know why, it just struck me that I turned to her and I said, "Someday you will." Oh. I hadn't thought of that. And I hadn't really thought of it either. It just kind of came out. And wow, it makes you look forward to that day. I don't know if there'll be pipe organs in heaven, but the singing was just phenomenal. And that can happen certainly at any church convention. And then the Thursday was the day of the business of the church. And that was good as well, too. I'll just make one comment about the physical part, since you brought it up, Chief. I ran into a friend that I'd graduated seminary with, and we've kept contact through the years. We both joined the Naval Chaplain Corps around the same time. He stayed in, and he's just being promoted to the rank of captain. He showed us his Eagles, which is a full-bird colonel in the Army. So he's done very well. He's had 6 deployments with Navy and 5 with Marine Corps. So he's a very much a fitness. And he wanted to take us, we were going to go out to eat. It was 10 o'clock at night, and he still ate a full meal. He ate everything off his plate. We went for breakfast. He cleaned up his plate. He took some of his wife's. And he's still built like this. And at one point, we had a lunch break, was at noon, and we reconvened at 2 o'clock, and he was like, "Oh good, that'll give me time to go do a workout." And I said, me too. The campus is built around this huge practice field. I don't know if he went running, but I'm sure he was running somewhere. He was, when he ran in the seminary, he would jog 10 to 12 miles a day. When he biked, he goes 70, 80, 100 miles a day on his bike. He's just that kind of a person. He's just given that aptitude. Then we began the business of the church, the actual convocation or convention on Thursday. And mixed into these convocations are a few resolutions, not that many, a few elections, and we voted on different people. And one of the things that North American Lutheran Church in particular is kind of big on what they call ecumenical partners. Other Lutheran, Episcopal type churches that send leaders that are largely of like mind with the theology and the understanding of ministry of the NALC. And so some of them would bring greetings. There were people from Episcopal churches some around the world, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, ELCA, lots of different groups there. A few of them stood up, and Ron referenced one of them, the pastor from Belarus, and I want to talk about that in just a minute. One of the things that is of great emphasis in attending these convocations, and I would hope that at some point everyone who desires to would have an opportunity to attend one, even to go as a visitor. And let's just say a few years it's in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Des Moines, or something like that, or Omaha. I don't know if Sioux Falls has something large enough to quite handle. I don't know. But if we ever did, go, even as a visitor, and just take in and hear the discussions. But a huge emphasis is placed on missions, and that's what I want to just focus on for a few minutes. And I'll do it in this order. There were three particular mission organizations that really were gripping and caught my attention, and I think they did for Ron as well. The first one, we'll start with the physical needs. We heard from an organization, and neither he, Ron, nor I can remember the name of the outfit. We're going to find out about this, though. That's a young fellow that's an engineer, I'm assuming mechanical or hydro engineer, has been running a ministry, their mission at Forebears began, that builds water filtration systems. Fairly simple, a lot of PVC pipe, use solar panels to power it. They can be put anywhere in the world. And one of the quotes that I remember this engineer saying is, he said, there's a saying in Africa, empty stomachs have no ears. And what an interesting way to encapsulate the importance of people having healthy water and food and supplying those needs. And along with that, bringing in the good news of the gospel. But it's hard to have an audience when people don't have the basics of life. And the reason I bring this up is that it was fascinating to see what's done with some, I wouldn't call it simple technology, but available technology. Now, if you're looking for something to throw yourself into, maybe that's it. We'll have some material on that. But it can be brought anywhere in the world, because there's solar power anywhere in the world. And they gave us a slide presentation and showed a young girl, African girl, standing next. They showed a water supply. It's similar, if you can't see it now, perhaps after the service, take a look at this backwater pond that's still sitting here from the rainfall we had the second weekend in June. And filled with, and they showed a glass of water from this water body next to a filtered glass. And we look at that water that they drink, the natural water they drink, we wouldn't use it in the stools in our house. And it's no wonder when you see this why people can have such short lifespans, health problems, infections, etc. Fascinating work that they do. The second, that was a reminder of the great need worldwide for good water. And I know how myself, I take this for granted. I assume, I went back to the kitchen to get a glass of water. I assume the water would be clear, be fresh, it's been treated. I don't worry about bacteria. I don't worry about some disease being carried in the water supply. The second mission was an ecumenical greeting, a greeting from the pastor, a pastor from the Lutheran Church, a small body in Belarus. Belarus is a former member of state under the auspices, if you will, of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And it's called by some the last dictatorship in Europe. He spoke about the extreme difficulty they have in their country of worshiping freely, of trying to organize, to spread the gospel, to bring a Lutheran understanding of the gospel into a country, largely Russian Orthodox influence. That's not the enemy. The enemy, of course, there is the state. He mentioned to us that their leader, I don't forget what the title would be, the head of state in their country, continues to re-elect himself and has been there, I believe, since 1994. Well, something in the back of my mind told me, Belarus, Belarus. I think I remembered hearing something about atrocities in World War II. So while we're sitting there, I looked it up on my handy little iPhone and found a couple things about the country that just set me back in my chair. They're sandwiched between Russia on the north and east, Poland on the west, and a couple other Lithuania, a couple other smaller countries, and on the south, a country that I think most of you have heard of called Ukraine. Now, you think they're not in a political hotbed there? And he told about their efforts to organize their church and how they continue to have harassment. And some of us grumble when we have a mix-up in our IRS. I'm not talking about the scandal, but I mean just some tax problems, or a difficulty with a bank, there's an error, or trying to get something, you know, how we like to point fingers at the government and poke fun at the bureaucrats and so forth. But what we have does not hold a candle to what they try to get a permit to put a building and the paperwork comes back and they want you to move a comma from here over here. You can just see the game playing that they deal with all the time. I looked up in my little phone to see, because like I said, something went off in my mind about Belarus, and sure enough, found it. The country was invaded, and some of you remember pre-World War history, World War II history, not many, but some of you do. A pact was signed between Germany and Russia, non-aggression pact, and both Germany and Russia invaded Belarus. Then in 1941, the Germans invaded Russia. So Belarus is right there in the middle. Belarus is a country that lost roughly one-third of their population. One-third population.